Good afternoon, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. Our show features the people, the personalities, and the cultural events that make Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the Southeast such an interesting place to live. First thing on the show today, we're going to discuss how to help our loved ones in the final weeks and days of their lives. We're speaking with the author of Signposts of Dying, a book about common experiences that dying people go through, and how you can understand those experiences and be more comforting to a loved one in the final stage of life. Dr. Martha Jo Atkins is the author. She's also the founder of the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas and the executive director at Abode Contemplative Care for the Dying, a facility in Texas. She's also a TEDx speaker. Let's start out hearing an excerpt of a TEDx talk she gave about deathbed phenomenon.
We have, in this country, we don't talk about death and dying very often. I'm a death educator and a death researcher, and that makes me a little crazy. So we're going to talk about death and dying today. I want to start by telling you about my mother. My mother opted to go on hospice in 2005, and she and I had a lot of frank conversations. I said to her one afternoon, "Mom, you may have some visitors when it's your time to go. You may have angels or family members. I don't know who's going to show up, but somebody may show up. Will you tell me if somebody comes?" And she's walking down the hall, and she looks over her shoulder, and she said, "Depends on who it is." I said, "Okay, I have no idea what that means." 4 months later, she was in the hospital bed in the living room at her house, and her eyes were closed, and I was watching her track something underneath her eyelids. And I said, "Mom, what do you see?" She said, "Daddy Charlie, grandmother, mother and daddy, Uncle Claude, and Aunt Lala." She has a beautiful smile on her face.
That's Dr. Martha Jo Atkins speaking at a TEDx event. Her mother was comforted, believing she was seeing people who'd already passed on.
When I work with families now, I tell them, your person may see things you can't see, they may hear things you can't see, they may reach up to the sky, they may look through you. They may talk in metaphors about moving or leaving or going. Even though they're bedbound, they need their shoes or they need their map or they need their purse or they need to get to the stadium. They got to get somewhere.
Dr. Martha Jo Atkins joins us on the show today to talk about the signposts of dying because she's coming here to Chattanooga to speak at a conference open to the public. Welcome Home of Chattanooga is hosting the conference. That's a nonprofit, a home for those who have a terminal illness and have nowhere to go for end-of-life care. They provide shelter and family-type care, partnering with area hospices who provide the professional medical care. Welcome Home's second annual Demystifying Death and Dying Conference is coming up Friday, April 27th in Chattanooga. So I actually have two guests today. Dr. Martha Jo Atkins is on the phone, and here with me in the studio is Sherry Campbell, the executive director and a founder of Welcome Home. We'll talk about the conference and the signposts of dying.
This is WUTC 88.1 FM. Essential news, eclectic music, every day.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I remember when my mother was dying, she saw her parents who had passed away many, many years ago. And, you know, at the time she had cancer, she was pretty heavily medicated. She wasn't very coherent. So I really didn't think anything about it. But as it turns out, as you found out through your research, this is fairly common. How common is it for people who are dying to see people who've already passed on?
It's extraordinarily common. It happens all the time.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, I think there's all kinds of possibilities. Some people think it's medication-related. Some people think it's memories. Some people think that it's part of the soul's process in dying. I leave that up for other people to interpret and make meaning. And I just like for people to know that it happens so they don't get scared about it.
What has been your own experience with that? In your TED talk, you talked about seeing that with your own mother.
Yeah, my mother saw my brother and her grandparents and her parents. She had not been talking for a few days and had been really uncomfortable. And I watched her one morning, and her eyes were closed and she was watching something under her closed eyelids. And I asked what she was seeing, and she talked about these relatives, and I asked where she saw them. And she said they were walking up the road from the farmhouse. And the farmhouse was out in West Texas. It was this white house that my mother used to visit, where her grandparents were. And I just had this beautiful image in my mind of these folks coming in mass up this dirt road to come and help her on her journey. And before that, I'd heard many stories from families I'd worked with in grieving processes where right at the end of life, the person who was dying talked about somebody who would come or seeing visions, and then these personal experiences brought it home in a different way. And now doing this work at Abode in San Antonio, it's a frequent experience, and it's something that we even prepare our guests, we call them guests, and their families, that this is something that could happen to you. We often ask about dreams and who they're seeing in their dreams, and they are funny. I'll ask if they've had any dreams of relatives who've died, and they either say, no, I haven't had any, or they look at me like I'm psychic. It's pretty great. how do you know? And it's that common.
In your research, what have you found out about it in other cultures around the world?
Yeah, this happens all over the world. It happens to people who are blind. It happens to people who are deaf. In cultural situations, there are cultural components to it. There are still visions. The people still see their parents and their grandparents, and then they'll see religious icons from that culture. So there's in the Chinese culture and Taoism, there's this cow head creature, and very often the cow head creature will show up in their visions. In Christianity, we'll see angels, and people will talk about seeing Jesus, or they'll talk about seeing figures of light. It's a individual experience. That's what I love about it so much. There's a commonality to it in that people have the visions, and then there's this beautiful individuality to it that often speaks to what they seem to need.
And some people would say that it's supernatural. They really are being visited by these creatures or people who've passed on. Others
sure.
would look for a more scientific explanation.
Sure.
I mean, does it really matter why they're seeing these visions?
Yeah, for me and for the people I talk to, my encouragement is that it really doesn't matter. It matters that they happen, and people get to figure out, as I said before, they get to figure out the meaning that they want to make from them.
And Sherry Campbell, you're at Welcome Home of Chattanooga here. You're taking care of dying people every day. What have you seen with this?
It's impacted my life tremendously, and our volunteers as well. Most recently, and I appreciate Martha Jo sharing the story she shared. Most recently, we had a very young resident who was dying, and we were all very sad because she was just too young. But one thing that comforted us was a couple of days before she died, she woke from her coma. And she looked quite confused, and our volunteers and her daughters were there with her, asked if everything was okay. And her husband had died a couple of years before her, and her mother had died just recently. And she said, yeah, your dad and my mom want me to join them at this party, but I don't know where the party is.
And yes.
Just knowing that, regardless of what causes it, brings such meaning and comfort to people. And a lot of times we talk, when I tell people what type of work I do, I often get, oh, I could never do that, or that must be so depressing,
mm-hmm.
when actually it's very holy and sacred ground and very enlightening. So these mm-hmm. stories that Martha Jo shares and the experiences that we've had at Welcome Home across the board have brought a lot of meaning to us in how we view life and how we view end of life.
knowing that many people who are dying will have these visions, how can that help us, those who are taking care of the dying, make it a better experience for them?
We encourage our volunteers to allow that conversation, that communication. If the person's able to talk, to say, well, tell me more about that. Tell me more about what you're seeing. We refrain from calling the person delusional or saying that they're having hallucinations. We just encourage and reassure the person that is dying, that's sharing this with them. And we're always curious. We want to see more. And sometimes we're blessed to have that person share their experience with us. Even when they're so sick and tired, they still let us see what they're hearing and what they're, and they share what they're seeing. And that makes you think about your own death and living that way on, okay, who am I going to see at the end of my life? Who's going to come and get me and take me home?
And if you're a family member to be grieving this person you love so much who is actively dying and they're in process, and you as a family member understand that there's this beautiful, intelligent experience that happens with the body. It's not a random, dying is not a random thing. Mm-hmm. There's a process that happens. There's a trajectory of experiences. And along, you can begin to hear about these, you hear about visions and then your person is having them, or you hear about these metaphors that your that a dying person may use. They need the suitcase, they need to go on a trip, they need to get out of here, they need to go, and then your person starts to do those things. And there's a recognition that, yeah, my person is really dying and this is hard, and there's a process here and I'm following along and I can find meaning in this. And I can companion them, and I believe that helps the family member, as it also helps the person who's dying. We're being with everybody in the experience as best we can, and encouraging them as best we can, and giving them an opportunity to be involved in a way that maybe they wouldn't be if they didn't understand the nuances of the experience.
And Dr. Atkins, you've written a book, Signposts of Dying. What are some of these other signposts?
So these pieces of language that people use, they're trackable. So you may hear somebody talk about needing to go home. They want to, maybe they are at home, or maybe they've been at a residential facility for 5 years or something, and they start talking about wanting to go home. When somebody is at end of life and they start that kind of conversation, as Sherry was saying earlier, there's this holiness and this sacredness, and that zings me right to that place that, oh, we're on that kind of path now. They may ask for suitcases. And lots of people take that very literally. We got to go get their suitcases for them. This is crazy. They really haven't been talking or moving, and they're not really going to go on a trip. And yeah, they are going to go on a trip. And I have seen people who have physically gone and gotten suitcases out of the closet. They know that their dad's not going to go on a trip, but I'm doing air quotes, the trip. And they bring their the dad's suitcases and put them by the door, and dad, the suitcases are here ready for you whenever you're ready. I love that kind of affirmation. Another thing people will say sometimes is, now you're not going on a trip, you're in the bed, you just got to stay here, which is also an acceptable thing to do. And I believe a more affirming thing to do is to meet the person and say, yeah, we're almost ready for your trip. You can go whenever you're ready. Here's your stuff. People may ask for things. They want their books, or they want their pocket knife, or they need their kerchief, or they need their shoes, things that you would gather to go on a trip. And again, our first response may be, well, you're not going anywhere. And if you can rise up and recognize that they are in a little bit different reality than we are, it's not... I hear this phrase a lot. They're getting worse. And I want people to think about it as they're not getting worse. They're moving into their process. They're moving further into their process. Because worse is a bad thing. And it is painful that we're losing the person we're losing. And dying is a natural part of life. And this moving into the process and seeing the signposts, maybe, they can be tender notices that their person is moving along and calls for people to be tender themselves with their friends and family. You may notice the tracking. People are tracking things around the room. So what we have begun to notice about the visions is you may see somebody staring outside. They're sitting in their chair and they're looking outside. And with a little questioning, what do you see out there? They may tell you that they see somebody, or they may tell you there's a baseball game going on out there. And you look out and there's nothing out there. There's a child sitting on the bench, or there's some children over in the corner playing. Really common for people who are in process to see visions outside, physically outside. And then as they move further into their dying process, the visions come closer. They may begin to see flashes of people in the hallway. They may begin to hear people in the hallway. And then they see people that I call friendlies. So if you think about going through a neighborhood and you see people out and they wave to you, but you don't really know who they are, it's that kind of visual experience. Somebody may even come into their room. I was with a friend one time, and she asked me if the doors were locked in this hospice facility. And I said, yeah, what do you mean? They are locked. And she said, well, a man came in my room last night. He had on a skull cap, and he put something in my drawer, and he winked at me when he left. And she wasn't frightened of him. It was a notice. She noticed that he was there, and it unnerved her a little bit, but it was okay. Those to me are friendlies, and they come in, and they usually don't talk at this stage of the process. And then as people move further into the process, and they're a little deeper into this reality of leaving, a little deeper into the trajectory of dying, one foot here and one foot there, they have more of one foot there, and they're usually less communicative with us here and seeing and talking to people that we can't see. And on it goes. There's lots of different signposts, but those are a few of them.
That's Dr. Martha Jo Atkins, author of Signposts of Dying, and she's going to be the keynote speaker at Welcome Home of Chattanooga's Demystifying Death and Dying Conference, their second annual conference on Friday, April 27th. Sherry Campbell, you're with Welcome Home. What are you hoping people get out of this conference? Is it for the general public? Is it for hospice workers?
This conference is for everyone that's interested in coming. I think we have, as the title says, we have mystified death and dying. We've stopped talking about it in my lifetime. It's become taboo. And that hasn't served us very well. Because when we find ourselves at the end of life, no one wants to talk about it. So if Dad is dying and he wants to say some words or tell people he loves them, sometimes the family, with good intentions and well-meaning and loving and kind, will say, well, Dad, let's not talk about that now. You're going to be fine. And I think we need to change that. I think we need to let people know again. We've been caring for people for thousands of years at the end of life. And just in the past 50 to 75 years with ICUs and emergency rooms and nursing homes, we've put it in the back room. And Welcome Home really wants to provide opportunities for the public, hospice workers, just anybody, to come and learn more about what we already know, but we need to start talking about it again, and come and have an opportunity to talk about death and dying and take the fear out of it, take that sting out of it.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have Dr. Atkins speaking. What are some of the other things you've got going on April 27th?
We have a lovely lineup. We have Dr. Terry Melvin, who has been a longtime hospice doctor in the area, that will be coming and presenting on hospice care. We have talks about unexpected death and dying and the grief around that of a sudden death. Other topics include cultural diversity, like Martha Jo was talking about earlier. Lots of great breakout sessions in between.
Thank you both so much. How can people get more information about your book, Dr. Atkins?
You can get more information about Abode at www.abodehome.org. And you can get more information about me and my work at marthaatkins.com.
And Sherry, how can people register for the conference and find out more about Welcome Home?
By going to our website, welcomehomeofchattanooga.org, or you can call us at 423-486-4001.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.